We're reading Kabbalah and Matkil, Pticha, Introduction to Kabbalah. We're reminded you can ask questions live on internet, www.kab.tv. And the questions relating to the study material will be answered live. Introduction to the Wisdom of Kabbalah is one of the introductions to the Pirusha Sulam, the commentary of Sulam to Zohar. Bala Sulam saw that the time has advanced. It came to the stage that the wisdom of Kabbalah has to be revealed to all of the world, as he writes. And revelation of the Kabbalah to the whole world is called the horn of the Messiah. So he began to write the introduction of Sulam to the book of Zohar in order for his commentary to be understood, understandable, to explain what is truly written in Zohar. So, four introductions preceded into the preface to the wisdom of Kabbalah, Mavot Zohar, introduction to Zohar, preface to Zohar, and Pticha. All these introductions are found here. And preface to the wisdom of Kabbalah is the greatest, most fundamental, essential introduction, because it explains to us the entire structure of reality, the structure of the soul, world, spreading from up down. Together with that, we study how we should rise from up down upward. In short, and incorporates inside it all of the wisdom of Kabbalah. Thus, it's called preface to the wisdom of Kabbalah. It's actually the gist, the summary of the entire wisdom of Kabbalah. I think it's worthwhile for us, once in a while, we return to this introduction, and it takes a few good months before we complete it. But the one who goes over it, and I've done that many times, the one who does, returns to it many times, truly receives the picture of the structure of the reality, can connect the two worlds, the corporeal and the spiritual. He can find his place and the process of development of man, and how all the stages, what are the stages that has to go through that. Therefore, let's study, starting today, the preface to the wisdom of Kabbalah. Let's hope that will bring us a lot of good to what the writer, the author, intended for us. Besides the preface, the wisdom of Kabbalah, he prepared graphs, sketches. In the end of the Pticha Ketuvah Kabbalah, we have page 388, we have the Sefer Ha'ilan, the book of graphs, sketches. Drawings. It's the same Etz HaChaim, the tree of life. It's how all the worlds in spiritual, how they are structured, how they are organized, what are their possible condition states. And when we're studying the Chokhmah, the preface to the wisdom of Kabbalah, we are gonna delve into these drawings, be helped by them, and we can see how the Bala Sulam drew for us the structure of the spiritual. It's there we're found, we're released, because the status we're feeling ourselves is illusionary and temporary. And thus, let's begin. Yes, please. The Pticha, the preface to the wisdom of Kabbalah. Three main concepts. Four phases of the right light. Rabbi Hananiah ben Akashia said, the Creator wished to reward Israel, so He gave them the Torah and commandments. In Hebrew, to award, lizkot, is similar to the word purify, lizakot. And know that zakut is from the word purify. As the sages said, the commandments were not given but to purify Israel. And we need to understand this issue of purification that we attain through Torah and Mitzvah. And what is this coarseness that we have to purify through the Torah and commandments? What does he want to say, in other words? The creature is the evil incarnation. To begin with, why do we receive explanation for that? Why did the Creator create us in such a special attributes called ego, the desire to wish to fill oneself on the account and on all accounts? There's no measurement. If it's possible without any measurement, without any limit, the desire wish to feel himself, so each and every one feels himself. If he is aware of, in general, who he is, what he is, and thus, if he feels himself and realizes that what he is and he wants to purify himself, improve himself, there is only one path. There's a way through Torah, that so-called Torah, to elevate oneself, to come to the degree of purity. Therefore, he says the Creator wants, the upper force wants to purify Israel, to give them opportunity to rise above their day-to-day lives, and thus he gave them Torah. And there are all kinds of other sayings, I created the evil incarnation, I created the Torah, the spice, and so forth. We need to understand, therefore, why are we found in such a mean, gross, lowly state in darkness, in attributes that are so seemingly bad? There's a question, what is bad? Who determines that? And what are the options that we're faced with? There's the upper force, the sages say, that gave to us the chance to be corrected. That chance is if this an option, an opportunity, or is it an obligation? So we need to understand right now what is our nature and what we are going to. There's a desire to correct oneself in man from within, inner drive to be aware of spiritual, to correct oneself, to rise. It comes through suffering, to problems, and in the wisdom of Kabbalah we explain how we can take our destiny in our hands, and with that with force that's called the Torah and commandments, to elevate ourselves to the spiritual existence. Therefore, the Creator wanted to purify Israel are the ones who want to be directed towards the Creator, meaning to come to the purpose of creation. There's a purpose, there's an aim, and there's here a man, person, and that person can be Israel. If he wants to be Yashar Kel, directed to the Creator, if he has a drive forward, upward, he doesn't know what exactly it is, but he wants to receive a certain desire. It's not directed, it's nothing yet. That's why it's called a point, that from all my heart, everything that I have in this world, all kind of desires to be pleased, to be filled, I have an addition. Additional desire, what kinds of things that I have, pleasures that are bodily and human. The bodily is what my body wants, and human is what the society supplies me with. Happiness, honor, richness, honors, knowledge. And if a person elevates above that, that means the point in the heart begins to speak in him, wants to bring him up to a certain place. And then he's called Israel. According to that point, if he develops that point that drives him to upward, to attain the statistic and goal to be great, then he needs dependent on the force, that this force of called Torah and commandments. We're going to see that afterwards. Of course, what we know from this world, Torah and commandment, in general, what we know in this world is we're better off forgetting. Here, the terms are completely different. And we have discussed this in Talmidus and Sfirot and Tanim Vezberot of Sfirot, and we shall return it in short, because the thought of creation was to please the creatures according to his great benevolence. Well, the Creator wants to please the creatures, and therefore he gave them such a hard life. And that, therefore, the creatures has enormous desire. The Creator prepared an enormous desire in the souls to receive this pleasure contained in Shefa, abundance. If the Creator, he says, wants to give and wants to bestow, I don't know how much, I don't know how exactly, 100 kilos, let's say 100 kilos, and therefore the creature has to have that ability to receive that 100 kilo, and let it receive it, not just receive it. If I just open up my mouth and they will be forced and be forcefully fed, that doesn't mean to receive. The creator wants to give pleasure. Therefore, first I want. That has to precede. That desire has to be prepared for reception as appetite. Therefore, he says, he created an enormous desire, driving the yearning to receive that abundance. But that is within the souls. Inside them, we don't feel them. We have to, with the help of the wisdom of Kabbalah, to develop, open up a desire, a great appetite for what the Creator wants to give. He holds it until I want. The moment I really want, within quantity and quality, exactly the measure that He wants to give, immediately He does. He does give to me. And with us, it's according to the law. There's no light without the clean. There's no pleasure without the deficiency, because the deficiency determines all. If I want, I will receive. The question is to want exactly what he wants to give. It's like parents that prepare things for a kid, but he wants something different. So they have that gift for him, but he does have desire to them, and they don't give to me that pleasure because he doesn't feel that it is a gift. They prepared a book full of wisdom, and he wants soccer, what he can do. So they wait and they teach him all kinds of things until he wants exactly what he wants. They prepare for him. There's no other choice. The task or the purpose is there to begin with. But we have to prepare our desire and point it directly to that purpose, to what the Creator wants to give. And that's the whole wisdom, how to receive.
Because according to the size of the will to receive the abundance is the extent of the pleasure and joy in the abundance, not less nor more. And they are connected one to the other until you cannot divide them except with the relation of the pleasure to the abundance. And the great desire to receive the abundance is related to the creatures which receive. So he says so. The Creator, by its abundance, by its light, created the point of the desire. And to begin with, the light is always found within the desire and develops it. There's no such thing that there's a desire on its own and the light on its own. The light is the first, is the primary, and it keeps constructing and developing the desire. So he says, later on the desire becomes greater and greater and greater, and the light keeps during this entire time to develop it and to feel it. And this is why I say they are bonded together, the light and the desire, because the desire is like a clothing on the light. The more the light opens itself, who is it, then the desire grows. And it is a necessity that they are both drawn from the Creator, the light and the desire. Both of them come from the Creator, from the upper force that had decided to do so. And necessarily they came with the thought of the creation. But we should separate them, as it is mentioned, that the abundance is from its essence, blessed is His, meaning it is drawn from existence out of existence. And the desire to receive, which is incorporated there, is root of the creatures, meaning it's the roots of the renewal, meaning the exit of existence from non-existence. Meaning there is a creator, out of him comes out the light, abundance, and within the abundance there is existence out of non-existence, there is a desire. Suddenly the desire takes form and the light starts to work on the desire, to operate on it. And later on when they come and develop and so on, there are two. There is abundance which fills the desire, as if they are connected together and you can't separate them, take them one out of the other. Still you can distinct between the two. And how can we distinct between them? If we relate the abundance to the Creator, we can find within us something that belongs to the Creator, and what does not belong to the Creator belongs to the creature. So we make such scrutinies with you, what within us relates to the one and what within us relates to the other. That is nothing more than two. The light and the vessel, what relates to the Creator and what relates to the creature. Because in its essence, blessed is, of course, there is no discernment of the will to receive, God forbid. And therefore it is distinct that the desire to receive is the entire material of the creation from its beginning till its end, until all the species of the creatures and their many cases that have no extent and the way in which they are led it, that have already revealed and which are future to reveal, are only changes of values of the will to receive. And everything within those creatures, meaning everything received in this desire to receive, which is imprinted in them, it is all drawn from his essence, existence out of existence, and it does not relate at all to the renewed creations, which is existence out of non-existence, because there is no renewal here, and it is drawn from its eternity, blessed is, as existence out of existence. Meaning all the development which will later on have, all the worlds and the souls and the rules, all the different rules, all that we can separate into those two parts, a desire and abundance. And those parts, the desire and the abundance, they descend and they take parts and they separate, meaning they are the same desire within itself. It divides into parts, steam, vegetate, living and speaking, each one of them to more and more detail that we see in this world. This world is a small part from the creation, but how many species we have in the still, vegetate, animate, and the speaking, each one is different from the other in these 7 billions which exist here. So all of that is just different values, relative differences between the light and the vessels. The vessel and the light within it take an atom, molecule, a creature, a stone, something alive, something still, never mind what, the stars, the world, they have nothing more except the material and the light that keeps it alive, that holds it. Because without the light, this material wouldn't have existed. The desire itself comes as existence out of non-existence. What does it mean out of non-existence? Because it comes as a copy of the light, oppositeness of the light. It closes the light with being opposed to it. That is why it exists. So he says, what there is and what would be, what had been revealed and what would be revealed, never mind. If we want to see the true image, get away from all those forms that you perceive in your five senses, start seeing vessels and lights, a desire and what motivates the desire, nothing more. And then you wouldn't be mistaken. Never. Because only that exists. There is a desire, the light that fills it, and according to the size of the desire, the strength of the desire, or later on when we start to correct the desire, then according to the screen. Meaning, when the desire wants to receive fulfillment, only according to its equivalence with the light. If they are equal, then he would receive. And according to how, to the extent that they are equal, but there is nothing more except that, meaning a desire, a screen, masach, or screen, intention, or, and the abundance, light. From the beginning, from upward down, from the world of infinity, to this world, descends a desire and abundance within it, and from down upward, meaning here there is a desire and abundance, and only that, and when we ascend from down upward, we add, there is the desire, the abundance, and the screen between them. The third thing which connects, how much we want to equalize with the abundance. That is the entire difference, what we are adding to the entire creation. Equivalence of form, as we call it, between us, the desire, and the light. When we start to see the difference, to separate between us, within us, this is the pleasure, and this is the deficit to it, and I make a wall between them, a wall within myself, a barrier within myself, and I say, I want to determine what's going on between them. And when I decide how the pleasure would fill the deficit, that decision is called the man. That is me. All the other calculation, desires, action, it's not me. I'm activated like that from above by the abundance. If I put full abundance a screen, and I say I would determine the relation between them, that is already the I. The self is born. If it's there's not such thing, then I do not exist. There are actions of the light and the vessel that there's no choice in it. There's no man in it. There isn't with it something or. With his decision, with his desire, like the material goes on, and by the rules that are activated, erecting within him. If I understand it right, the abundance and the desire are actually the same. One feels the other in the same way. It's not that it feels they come together like that. That the light was first, and then on it start to form a desire, like a kind of a cover. This is the light, and the cover start to form upon it. And the light more and grows and grows and grows, and with that he compels the desire to grow more and more. So if that's the situation, then in the state of infinity, we can define it in 630 desires, because it's the abundance and the desire. It's under one rule. I don't know, let's leave it for now. It's hard. There we still don't distinguish those distinctions. Yes. If the abundance and the desires come from the Creator, then if I have a desire not to do anything, and to that I'll have money and everything, why doesn't he bring me the abundance like that? Why do you jump like that? We are not where he's speaking about. We are not in this play that he's speaking about. It's nice claims, and why isn't it like that? And if now you would have been filled with the abundance according to your desire, then what would you feel? Why do you think that you would feel something? If the abundance would fill the desire, would you enjoy or wouldn't you? Why do you say yes? How can you enjoy if the abundance is within the desires? Then there is no desire. The desire is neutralized by the abundance. Meaning we should understand that this development, what we draw here from up or down, where there is only a desire and abundance, it's a development that does not have the sensation of the pleasure, the feeling of the pleasure. When the abundance precedes the desire, there's no hunger, there's no appetite, there's no lust. I don't feel that something's missing. That according to the deficit, to that extent, I feel the pleasure. And if before I want it, they already push it to me, then I would never feel that it causes me pleasure. Meaning the pleasure is only measured according to the deficit which precedes it. And if the abundance comes, if the abundance precedes the deficit, then it is not named a deficit. It's only called a desire. The desire, which is some kind of natural force. The stone enjoys from its existence or doesn't she? Tell me. Well, let's say we can test it. What pleasure does the steel have from its existence? It does have a certain pleasure, and that's why it keeps itself in its structure. But what kind of pleasure? To the extent of the steel, in the measure of the steel, because he's constructed in such a way. It's not that he has a preceding desire. The vegetate and the animate, even the animate. How much pleasure can they feel? In the animate and the vegetate, we can see some pleasure that they have a deficit and then they receive in it food or something. But actually, this is in our world, but actually, if you would have existed in the spiritual world, which, as you say, it's filled with abundance and pleasures, and you wouldn't feel that you exist and you have the abundance. We are confused between the deficit and the desire which is within us, which is already disconnected from the abundance. And then I enjoy, of course I enjoy, but and the other thing is the desire in the spiritual world, where there is plenty of abundance and then there's no pleasure. Well, we'll ask the question in the next time, and we'll move on to the third part. We'll move on to the third part of the lesson.